morning, Tom Warren. I am the internal auditor at the university, ably assisted by Julie Hodgkins, assistant auditor. The internal audit department reviews various departments, offices, and functions of the university for things such as operational issues, financial issues, and compliance with grants and other things of that nature. Every year, we try to provide a summary of what we've done throughout the year, the areas we've reviewed, and I think you'll find that in your book on page, starts on page 22, goes to 30, I believe. And so we try to provide a summary of what the things that we've looked at, some of our recommendations to come up with, and to just provide them on a regular basis. And in addition, I think it's on page 30, we also provide a schedule of areas that we hope to look at within the next year. So, I don't know, I guess I'm just here to answer any questions you might have about it. I think we once were, but the budget cut, we still attempt to attend their function, just not.
The only reason I ask is I understand that there's a standard that requires internal auditors to have a deployment protocol with an audit committee of a board. We don't have an audit committee of the board. That is a standard. I believe a recognized standard, but just the matter of the association, I think it doesn't make any difference.
I have a question. And it is regarding the occasionally the checks don't get cashed, like they held on for a while, and that seems to be a little bit of a problem. Do they not, or are they not allowed to do the, I know I've received several times checks from different entities where it'll say void if not cashed within 30 days, 60 days, or whatever. Can we not do that?
We do have that, and I don't remember the exact number of days. We do have 180 days. Okay. We have that on our checks, but we technically have not actually, I'm not saying, it's my experience that we don't actually void them after that. Now, maybe that's something that's changing now, I'm not sure, but we've had some checks that were still out there for several years.
I just wanted to give a quick update. I'm on page 31 on some graphs and other updates. First of all, the first slide on page 31 shows campaign numbers. We had a number of major dips announced since then, some of which have been announced yesterday and others that have not. I will tell you that that number is now closer to about 117. We'll be having some new announcements very soon that are going to have a significant impact on that, so we're very pleased with that. I will comment, Madam Chair, also that a number of questions about the economy and stock market and other questions about how that affects the campaign in the last campaign cabinet meeting. I will tell you that we have seen some individuals, donors, who have asked for a little bit more time, some more consideration on timing of their gifts, but not a drop off in terms of support at this point. No one except, it's not going to be possible. And that's part
partly in planning over that 4.5-year period, so we're still very optimistic. We also have in play now, we're trying to get the exact number of bucks for brains money, but approximately $2 million, a little bit less perhaps, our portion of the $10 million allocated for comprehensive universities, and that's going to be a big shot in the arm. We wish we had a lot more. We've already got individuals who asked for proposals on that, and we plan to again be the first university to utilize all of that money by July 1 when it comes on board. So I'm excited about that. We wish it was more. Next page, and again, stop if you have any questions, just showed the endowments. Dr. Ramsdell and others within the strategic planning process of the university have articulated a goal of $200 million endowment as well as a $200 million campaign goal by 2012. We're at 106.5 as of the end of February. That's going to be challenging. The market's been down, as you know. We're really looking at that strategically now within the foundation board, how we can get there, what's been promised in the campaign in terms of cash intake, as well as our overall investment policies. So we're having a hard look at that, and that's going to be very daunting, but we're working toward that goal. Next page on cash flow continues to be, probably gives us a lot of confidence more than anything else. As you can see, last year we broke a significant record by going to $17.6 million. Again, when Dr. Ramsdell took office, we were raising about $3.5 million in cash. And we're ahead of that pace from last year. You can see through February, we're at $12.8 million. I have a pace from last year at $10.6 million. So we're pleased with that. And we want to finish the year off strong with cash flow. And again, that's reflected in large part of our significant growth and really the backbone of our whole development program, which is the President's Circle. That you see on page 34. We're right at about even where we were. There were some accounting issues that changed some of those numbers, but we're catching up and plan to be ahead of our goal, which is to get to 2,500 members present circle by year end. And then finally, our percentage increase at 10.7. That's roughly where we were last year. That's an ongoing challenge for us. I won't go into details again, but we talk about it every year. We get 3,000 new young graduates every year, which is great. The good news, the challenging part is those individuals tend to be less supportive of the annual fund initially, and that causes us to try to catch up. So we do a number of things to try to get our young alumni to support us. And I will say we've won the Young Kentucky Challenge Award the last 3 years amongst public universities for having the highest percentage individuals who graduate senior or less to support the annual fund, so that's something we need to work at. That's basically the report, other than I do have one quick handout for you on recent gifts. These are only gifts that we've announced now, so I apologize for not having those in the book, but as many of you know and read about yesterday, we announced a $500,000 gift, and I'll talk about that in a second. Running down from the top as that comes around, Dr. Ransom's already talked about the special needs trust gift of $1.5 million, which is tremendous, and that program continues to get support. We do have the building payoff, but I will tell you, Madam Chair, that we still need support in the various programs for endowments. We have small endowments for each different program, and now that our capital program is paid off, that's our focus, trying to build up those endowments. Whether it be brain injury or the Kelly Autism Program, et cetera. Tim Huntsman-Mell is a graduate who recently made a request known to us. This is basically within the College Heights Foundation, and one that we only count for individuals who are 65 and older scholarships. The Paul Orbison gift that we announced yesterday on the baseball field was for the clubhouse. You may want to elaborate, but we plan to get started on that. Our architectural drawings are underway, and we plan to have that ready for the next baseball season. We're still trying to raise some additional support. Connie Coulter is an individual. Yes,
ma'am. Does
$500,000
pay for this?
No, it does not. The total project was around $1 million. We have about 200,000 additional gifts. We're working to try to secure the rest of it. It's all from private. Connie Coulter requests, actually, I'm not sure if you can brief Dr. Ramsdell on this, but this is a fairly recent one. She's a College of Ed graduate, one of our development officers we work with. And this is a new phenomenon for us, but she has made that request fully undesignated. She believes that Dr. Ramsdell's vision for the university and others will allow him to designate that to the highest priority. So that's always a very special gift when we get that. So we're excited about that one. You may already have it marked down for something. Jesse Ball DuPont is a very important one for literacy. And again, without going into detail, a couple of my staff members, Chris DeVoe and Terry Barnett, worked on that program. And that particularly helps with English as a second language in the schools. Bowling Green High School, for instance, has about 17 or 20 languages spoken. And that's a grant that helps bring parents into the schools and helps with that transition to a second language. So we're proud of that one. The state of Doris Hutchinson, finally, is a $145,000 realized gift for scholarships. Dr. Hutchinson died recently, and a member of our Hall of Distinguished Alumni. We're very proud of her service for the university. One that was not on here that should have been has already been announced, and we give, I guess, the overall gift credit to Pontiac, but Ty Rogers is our special donor who actually made it happen with a gift that was announced by CBS for the General Scholarship Fund of $100,000 for a General Scholarship Fund, which was going to be the Pontiac Game Changing Flood of the Game. We were one of the 8 nominees, so we got $5,000 plus as the winner, getting another $100,000. So we're excited about that. Dr. Ramsdell will be having an announcement about that soon, about how we're planning to designate that. But that's basically my report.
Times, USA Today, Bloomberg News, Journal, Daily News, so on.
aside from the success of the team, to give us an opportunity to actually forum to present the commission to that discussion. We had a nice speech by Colonel Stansberry in the Tampa area. Our being drafted is a very nice speech from him. Another thing that hit appropriately enough was the 100% graduation rate of our men's basketball team. I think our women's team had a 92% graduation rate. We do have tremendous exposure from that. But just basically, this is to give you an idea of just the impact that success of the NCAA tournament has, the exposure it provides the university. And I want to thank Dr. Steele for his staff. The coaches and players are tremendous ambassadors for this university. Congratulated for representing the university with the highest standards. The interviews that they conducted were interviewed, represented this university very good. They're articulate, very engaging. This is a tremendous ambassador. So I want to thank Dr. Steele and the athletic department for their contributions. That's been just a tremendous boost for the university with this exposure.
I mentioned one article in here that when we're out there was the most compelling outcome of all of this coverage. And it's two-thirds of the way through your packet that we're going to just write this down. Recalling forward, thank you. The name of the article, and it was in the New York Times front page, March 27th. And I was not expecting this one, but I was so pleased that a paper with the national respect, chose to do this article. And it points out what most people have either taken for granted or forgotten or really weren't aware about to begin with. That in terms of the remarkable change that this university got bring about in the NCAA in the very quiet, for all the right reasons, in all the right ways, integration of a men's basketball in 1960. And I'm asking for the life of Greg Smith from this campus. And all the right reasons, in all the right ways, and how we set a standard for the NCAA that most people really didn't realize at the time and really don't know today, or not since this article in the New York Times, went back to touch history. In a very profound way. And interviewed the people that were involved in, Coach Owen, and all that significant event brought about. And the theme of the article is these guys are no strangers to this event called the NCAA tournament. Let me tell you what else this program has meant for the NCAA. And it's a story. So if you haven't read that one, I call it to your attention. It's about two-thirds of the way through. If you're calling forward, thank you, March 27, New York Times. This is a terrific statement about our program. And sometimes it takes the national stage of current success to calls recollection of the things that put us in the program in a position to have to perform the program today. And to do that, I know you take the pride and connection for sure.
And also that Coach Owen was such an ambassador at that time for forward thinking at this university that it reached across the nation. And the thing that he did sort of inspired other universities to change their programs. He was a big, very strong instrument that no one usually knew, you know, what he was going through and what was being done, but it was impacting the country.
We often hear about problems and institutions, education or otherwise, that don't do it right or don't do it well, and they typically just do negative news. We don't often hear about the ones who do it right, and that I was really proud of that.
Thank you. It gives me great pleasure to, for some of you, introduce Ken McDonald, for others, a reintroduction of Ken McDonald as our new head men's basketball coach here at WKU. To fill you in a little bit on Ken McDonald's past, Ken is 38 years old. He and his wife, Angie, will be returning to Bowling Green with their two-month-old daughter, Ella, from Austin, Texas, where he has spent the last 4 years as an assistant coach with Rick Barnes at University of Texas. Prior to that, he spent a year in Georgia with Dennis Felton and was part of the staff with Dennis Felton when they helped reestablish WKU basketball during the five-year period where they were here. Went to three straight NCAA tournaments as an assistant coach on that staff here at WKU. Very familiar with our campus, very familiar with our university, very familiar with Bowling Green. One of the best recruiters in the country. Rick Barnes has raved about Ken McDonald being the best assistant coach he has ever had. Ken played at Providence College, a member of the Big East, and then went on to assist Rick Barnes at Clemson as an assistant coach, and then came to WKU from Clemson with Dennis Felton when Dennis Felton joined WKU. A great, great prospect for us to land here at WKU, to follow Darren Horn and keep the momentum going that we have right now with WKU basketball. We could not be any happier than to have Ken McDonald back at WKU. We really like his enthusiasm and his motivation, and we look at the recruiting classes that Texas has had and that WKU enjoyed while Ken was an assistant. Many of those recruiting classes were ranked among the best in the country. So we feel very, very confident of Ken's abilities, and we want to welcome Ken back to WKU.
I won't take up a whole lot of time. I'd like to thank the leadership, Dr. Renzel and Dr. Seelig are simply the reason I'm here. As you get going in your career and start to think about opportunities you might be excited about, this one was on my mind for a long time. And to have the passion, to feel the passion here, and to be a part of it was a big reason for me coming back. So excited for the opportunity. I'm going to take advantage of it. I told it's funny, Dr. Renzel walked in the hotel late the night he hired me and handed me a tie and a red towel, and he handed me that article in the New York Times and said, this is where we want to go. He said, you're our man. I said, I won't let you down. And that's what I feel like I will do if I don't bring the type of national recognition that this institution deserves. And I've assembled a great staff that I'm so excited about. I wanted three guys when I thought about what this university needed in terms of direction and mentors, leaders, recruiters, and I got all three. And for that to happen I'm so excited about. I get to take over a program that just had incredible recent success, and I know how powerful that is to this university. We're going to try to keep going. I talked to Dr. Ramsdell during the process, and I told him I really don't think this program has a ceiling. And I truly believe that in my heart. When I was here as an assistant coach, we were able to accomplish great things. And we had to set, I was kidding David Boyden today, who was on my staff and played for us 5-6 years ago, and we had to sell him on a vision and a dream. You know, he had to believe in what we were going to have for a locker room, what we were going to have for the facility. Some of the pieces, he just kind of bought into. And now I get to bring kids on campus and show them right in front of them exactly what we're talking about. So our whole attitude is going to be get the most serious student athletes here, better talented, and we got a great chance. Because if they get here and feel the energy, meet the people, and see the commitment to what we do with basketball, we're going to have a shot with anyone we bring in. So I'm excited to be here. There's one item I'd like to vote on. It's the head coach's salary increase at this point. Hold me out. You put my resume out there. I'm the only coach in Kentucky that has been defeated at this point. Vote. Keep that in mind. So I enjoy people. I really like look forward to meeting each and every one of you. And I've heard a lot about you guys already. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to grow myself as a family, as a coach with this university. Looking forward to a long, long relationship. So thanks so much. And honestly, if there's any questions, I'd like to answer. You know, we're looking to keep the game in the 30s. I know that's on everybody's mind. No, style of play. Let's get to the nitty gritty here. What have we got for basketball questions? Do you have any basketball questions?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I want to welcome you on behalf of the former coaches, families of Western Kentucky University, and also to note that you have been a part of the Big East, the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, and now the Sun Belt Conference. What challenges do you face, you know, as getting the Sun Belt Conference to be recognized as one of the top conferences that you've been involved with?
Well, I think it's respect. And as a coach here, and even at Providence when I was a player, you know, you're fighting for respect. And you know when you're here and you feel the passion and you've been here. I mean, we've been to 20 NCAA tournaments. You know, there's only a handful that have been to that many tournaments, and you have the tradition. But you're fighting for respect nationally and constantly. And I've been to some places that have really powerful media possibilities. You know, Texas was one of them. Texas is on TV, and you get tired of seeing Texas on national TV, to be honest. You know, and we want to build that consistency. I think President Ranzel and Dr. Seelig talked a little bit about where they wanted to be, and I got the feeling, and I really believe this, that consistency is the key. You know, you need consistency with your coaching staff. You need consistency to get to that NCAA tournament. So if you become a household name over a period of time, you are respected and known. It's not a snapshot. You got to work the process, and you have to work toward a goal of being consistent, where that every year it's a given. You know, where am I going to have Western in my plans here? Who's going far? And man, you know, that's the type of thought process I have in terms of what we're fighting for.
I hope that opens one comment on that, Ms. Haskins. We talked about consistency. When you look at Ken's background, 14 years as an assistant coach, and in those 14 years, he's been a part of 12 postseason teams, 10 NCAA and 2 NIT. So definitely no stranger to postseason success, and success at the highest level with the Elite Eight and winning those type of conference championships like the Big 12 and in leagues like that. So that definitely is appealing and was part of our consistency with three straight NCAA trips prior to the departure of Dennis Felton.
Well, I say this too. I have great pride when I look back. I would argue with Rick Barnes as I was an assistant for him in Texas, because he would always ask, well, you know, is our big kid better than Chris Marcus or all our guards compared? I'm like, Coach, I'm telling you, man, we whoop Texas now. and you know, I have great pride in what I was a part of here. Probably the most pride over my career, because honestly, some other places, you know, like you said, have maybe a little bit easier recruiting path. So to come here and for what we took over at the time, which was pretty low, and to get to the level in a 5-year span. I look back at that, and I feel like that has tested me and got me ready for this opportunity more than anything. You know, I mean, Texas, like for instance, gets Texas players because they're Texas, and that's just a fact. So here, where you have to sell the vision, where you have to be efficient, and when you have to just use all of your resources to recruit and coach. And there's a plan behind it, too. It's not just recruiting. It's character that you bring in over the long haul. You can't band-aid things. You have to understand the process. And being here allowed me to really focus on that. Really focus on that and learn and get a blueprint that I know is successful.
Ben, could you briefly just tell us a little bit about your coaching?
Yes. Hired couple older guys and a younger guy, pretty much. I had no ego in hiring my staff. I know as a young coach, I'm not going to be perfect. And so it was important to me to have some experience on the bench and some guys that were good mentors, good leaders, and could also obviously recruit. Winning was very important. Everybody I hired had a strong tradition for winning. That's what I'm here for. Ray Harper from Oklahoma Oklahoma City University. Was also spent a lot of years on at Kentucky Wesleyan, one of the most respected coaches in the country. He's been on USA basketball staffs, and all he does is win. He doesn't have enough fingers for the rings, for the national championship rings that he has. He's an amazing story. I got to know him here at Western and kind of watched him work with respect and from a distance when I was at Western, when he was at Kentucky Wesleyan, and I got to know him a little bit. It's funny, he wanted to be a Hilltopper as a player and wasn't recruited here, wasn't offered. Ended up playing at Texas. And when I went to Texas and he was at Oklahoma City, we reconnected and once again watched in amazement how quickly he went into that situation and just won. I mean, he was in like three national championship games, 1-2. So you look at everyone on my staff, I see the resources they've been surrounded with and how well they've been able to do. And that says a lot. That says a lot about the coaches that I've hired. Lawrence Brenneman, I spent the last 4 years at Binghamton University. Another guy got to know as an assistant here at Western when he was at Seward Community College. And they went all the way to the national championship. They were in the Jayhawk Basketball League, which is a very powerful junior college basketball league. He was an assistant there. And at that level, you have to recruit entire teams year to year. So as I watched him recruit, it was amazing how much you would have to spread out and recruit because you got kids that are close to qualifying, you got kids that are not qualifying, you got kids that qualify. And he really impressed me with his work ethic. And I watched him go on to Binghamton. They went from Division II, transitioned to Division I, and actually got to the upper tier of the league, the upper third of the league. A short amount of time, so excited about watching him progress his career. And David Boyden was a player for us here at Western Kentucky, and once again brought him in. He was just a staple of our program, and came in and he was the guy we could point to in the locker room all the time and say, "Go as hard as him. You know, do what he does off the court. Be as serious about this as he is." And I think he's going to be an incredible mentor to our players because he's just young enough to still get on the court with him and take him on if he needs to. And he's still in a great physical condition. But he's also in a phase of his career where he's starting to take off as an assistant coach. So I call him.
Like you did when you were here.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're saying I wasn't a player. Hey, those that can't play, coach, trust me. But David's a little bit of an exception to that rule. But I call the three guys my lottery picks, my three assistant coaches. All the success that we have will be based on them. And that doesn't mean that they get, you know, the grunt of it if we're not successful. But they are truly behind the scenes. Everybody knows that when you have support staff, they really do so many things behind the scenes that are important that people don't see. They're very much like the players that fill up the stat sheet but maybe don't score a lot of points, but they're so important to the team effort. And I understand that, and I'm excited. I'm so excited about the staff that I have. Anybody else? Sorry to take up so much of your time. I wish there was a couple signs for me. I'm a little disappointed. maybe next time. Sorry. Have a great day. Once again, if I could ever help with anything, I think May, June, we're going to start to get out in the community as a staff a whole lot more when this recruiting stuff ends. And look forward to connecting and helping in any way I can. Thank you.
Thanks.